It has cooled off. The stars are very bright tonight. No clouds. We need rain badly. Mr. McCrae will be around first thing in the morning, and I haven't decided yet. What holds me here? Tourists who drive through think it's the end of the earth and can't understand why we Hopi Indians go on living here in northern Arizona, in the middle of the desert. And yet Oribe, one of our villages, pueblos, is the oldest inhabited place in the whole United States. Life is hard. A good heart is needed. That is the Hopi way. I do not want to leave the Hopi way. That is why it is so hard to decide. My high school teacher has got me a scholarship to the White Man's University at Tucson. But I will have to think with the head if I go away, and not with the heart. I feel more sure with the heart. That is the Hopi way. Even the story of my birth, the whites, I have told it to them, they will not believe.
The first time you were born a girl.
My grandmother liked to tell that story to me.
You were a fine girl, but when you were still wrapped up on the cradle board, you died. Your mother and father were very sad. They buried you and thrust a digging stick into the grave. On the fourth day, you climbed up the stick and came back to this house and waited in the ceiling to be born again. And this time you were born a boy, and we named you Nakima.
The whites say that is nonsense. But do they have a better story to tell their women who have lost a child? I do not look down upon the whites, but it is not easy to leave the Hopi way for the American way. The American way seems so complicated and difficult and nervous. I watch a white mother in a cafe.
Douglas, sit there and behave yourself. We've only got 10 minutes before we've got to catch the bus.
The ball's on the floor.
Oh, leave it there. Nobody's going to steal it. Sit up and eat.
Pickle. I want a pickle.
No, you can't have any more pickles. And don't play with your food. Eat those vegetables and grow up to be a big boy. See if you can beat Mama.
Sure I can. Watch me. I can beat anybody.
Look out. You're going to spill that glass of water. Oh, dear. All over everything. Soaking wet. Never seen it yet to fail. I'm never going to take you out again. Get up. Just sit there and let it run all over you. Bad boy.
White children cry a lot, more than Hopi children. They're always being bawled out and punished. They must do this, they mustn't do that. I am glad I was not a white child, but I have heard...
Those poor Indian babies.
Criticism of the way our kids are brought up, too.
I think it's terrible binding those babies on those cradle boards so they can't move.
I don't know who she was, that woman, some tourist passing through. But she had a lot to say.
With both their arms and legs tied down, I'm sure it retards them in learning things. And they must be very slow getting around to walking.
I should have spoken to her, but I didn't. Hopi babies who are bound and those who are not learn to walk at the same time.
And I think it's dreadful letting these children do anything they wish. Really. No discipline at all.
Free as the breeze, huh, lady?
No schedule right from the beginning. Whenever a baby whimpers, his mother feeds it. No toilet training that I can see. And very small children, if they want a drink of black coffee or a piece of spiced meat, they get it. Anything they want, completely spoiled.
And what's the harm in that, lady?
No wonder so many of their children die with the kind of diet they get and the unsanitary conditions.
She is right. We do have a lot of deaths. Maybe we should be more careful about what we feed babies and small children, and maybe the sanitary conditions could be improved. I have heard the government doctor say that, too. My own childhood, do I remember so much, or is it the older people telling me about it that I remember? I don't remember being bound on the cradle board, but I remember being carried around by my older sister. I remember climbing up on my mother to be fed. I remember her stopping me by putting red chili on herself. I was a toddler then and could say a few words.
Mama, what... Mama?
No, Nakima, you are getting too big.
Mama, what?
My brother Lee was coming along, that's why she weaned me. I remember the night journeys in the dark when I was very small.
Now that you understand, you'll go outside when you have to go, Nakima. You do that again in here and your uncle will come for you. Do you want that? Do you?
No.
Life seemed very hard, having to get up in the night and go out. Even just outside the door. When I got older, I had to go to the end of the plaza. It was cold, it was dark. I'd hold back until there wasn't time, sometimes. The first thing I was ever punished for. My mother's brother, my uncle Duvalitz Tewa, came and carried me about the village and invited people to throw cold water on me.
Nakima will not obey his mother. Won't you help me purify him?
Yes, Duvalitz Tewa. Here.
Oh, I will be good, uncle. I will be good.
One other time, I was taken out by Uncle Duvalitz Tewa and rolled naked in the snow. I don't remember what badness it was for. Among the whites, it is the father who is stern and punishes. That must be very strange. My father never punished me or my brothers and sisters. We were always very happy with him. My mother sometimes slapped us or threatened us.
Nakima!
What?
Stop twirling that flat stick with the string and making that noise or a bad wind will come.
What bad wind?
The neighbors will talk about you. You'll disgrace the whole family if you make a strong wind come. That is not Hopi.
Listen what a loud noise it makes, Mama.
I'll let the spider woman catch you in her web, or a coyote get you, or a Navajo if you don't stop.
I stop, Mama. You won't let the spider woman get me?
No, come here, Nakima. I won't let anything get you.
If anyone threatened or punished us, there was always somebody else around to comfort us so that we were never frightened or hurt for long.
Don't touch the fire, Nakima. It's hot. It'll burn you.
Don't go near the edge of the cliff, Nakima. You might fall over.
Those were the only two really big don'ts in my life when I was very small, and I didn't hear them very often. Someone was always with me, my big sister or my mother, to see that nothing did happen to me. My childhood was very happy and full of wonder. My grandmother telling stories filled the days with wonder.
The sun is the greatest god of all. He is very strong. Every day you see him, don't you? He travels across the sky and heats and lights the world and makes life. Makes you, makes me. Makes the plants and the animals and the birds. And the moon and stars help him. And then there are other sky gods. The wind, the lightning, the thunder, the rain and the rainbow. And eagle and hawk spirits who do many things to help us. And under the ground is Basile, the god of fire and death, who walks at night and protects us in our sleep. And Maingwa, who makes the seeds come. And the corn mother and her corn maidens who watch over the corn. And the Kachinas, and a spirit guide for each one of us.
Grandmother, make a story about the Kachinas.
Long ago, our people had a terrible drought. There was no water and no food, and the Hopi tribe was starving. They heard strange noises from the forest at the foot of the San Francisco Peaks. They went over and saw strange figures in gay costumes dancing and singing songs. They were Kachinas, spirits from the other world, who had come with water and food to end the suffering of the Hopi tribe. Ever since then, from January to August, the Kachinas, the eagle dancer, long hair, corn maiden, Mudhead the clown, and all the others have come over from the San Francisco Peaks and the Black Mountain every year to visit our pueblos. Some travel on the clouds and some underground, and some up through the floor of the ceremonial chamber, the kiva. They come to dance and sing and help us with our crops and bless our homes and bring presents for the children if they're good.
What will they bring me this time when they come?
Oh, I remember the time I was not good and the Kachinas found out.
Where is Nakima?
Nakima, the Kachina wants you.
Where is he? Are you his mother?
Yes, what do you have for him? He has been hoping for a fine bow and arrow.
No, he has been bad. I am going to take him away and eat him.
That was enough for me. I scurried into the house and hid under one of the couches. The Kachina had a terrible face. I could still hear them.
No, don't take him away.
Yes, he has been bad. fighting with the other children and killing chickens. Where is he? Nakima!
I am his grandmother. Please don't take him away.
We always eat the bad Hopi children.
If we give you some food, won't that do?
No, I want Nakima.
Kachina, why don't you take my old man instead? He's not much use to me anymore. Take him and leave Nakima.
Which is your old man? This dried-up old fellow?
Yes.
No, too tough. I want Nakima. Where is he?
Please, Kachina, he will be good, I promise you. His uncle will see that he is. He didn't mean to be a bad boy, and he won't be anymore. Take this food and leave Nakima with us, please.
He will be good from now on?
We will all promise that he will be a good boy. His mother, his uncle, his grandmother and grandfather. Take this food.
All right. I'll let you keep the boy. Give me that basket of food. And since Nakima is going to be a good boy from now on, here, give him this bow and arrow.
Thank you, Kachina. I'll go and find him and give them to him.
Oh, I was very grateful to my mother and grandmother for saving me from the Kachina. I was glad I got the bow and arrows, too. I was glad about a lot of things those days. I was even glad when my father made me get up before sunrise.
You are getting too big to be lying in bed in the morning, Nakima. Off you go to the far spring and wash.
My clothes.
No, naked. Run so that you will get back here before the women get up and see you. From now on, you will do this every morning, so you'll get big and strong. And after eating, would you like to come along and help me in the fields?
Oh, yes.
Keep the birds away and the prairie dogs.
And herd the sheep.
Maybe. Hurry now, dash off and wash. The sun will soon be up.
Learning to work began like play. I tagged along behind my father and tried to do what I saw him doing. I helped my mother gather rabbit weed for baskets and dig clay for pottery. I planted melon seeds and kernels of corn. I carried dirt for my father when he put a new roof on our stone house. I felt important. The work I did, even when I was only 6 and 7, was important to my family. Just to survive here on the desert, every Hopi must work hard and long. A child with responsibilities. But I still rolled my car tire and played games and teased the girls. I came and went pretty much as I pleased. I ate when I pleased. I explored where I pleased. And every now and then, my father told me things about the Hopi way.
Nakima, it is wrong to destroy plants and animals.
Will something happen to us for hunting these rabbits?
We must not kill any more than we need. And we must ask the animal people to forgive us and not be too angry because we kill only to live. Just the same as you and your mother asked the plant people to forgive you when you picked weeds for weaving.
We put food down beside the first weed we found.
And you asked it to tell the other plant people how much you needed rabbit weed for basket.
Yes, we didn't pick it.
The whole world must work in harmony, Nakima. Nature, the gods, the plants, the animals and men need each other and must work together for the good of all. There is no place for selfish men, or even for a selfish man among men. It would throw everything out of balance and endanger the whole universe. To be a good Hopi, Nakima, you will work for the good of your family, your clan, the village...
And the whole world.
Yes. Praise what others do. Belittle what you do yourself, Nakima. Keep a good heart.
The only trouble was I had to go to the white man's school. I couldn't spend all day in the fields with my father. I had to sit at a desk. How we all squirmed on the nice days. We learned the white man's language and we learned to read and write. Our teacher was Miss Taliesva, who had gone away and learned the white man's ways. She was all right, but our next teacher was Miss Wilson. She had queer ways.
Children, put up your hand as soon as you finish the exercise. Now, let's see who can get through these subtractions first. All right, start.
Mm-hmm.
Nakima.
Yes, Miss Wilson?
Why aren't you working in those subtractions? Don't sit looking out the window. Get to work.
I'm working.
You were daydreaming.
No.
Have you got any of them done? Let me see.
Working on them.
Let me see. Oh, you've got them all done so soon. Why didn't you put up your hand? Why didn't you tell me you were finished?
I don't know.
Why don't you know?
I don't know.
Don't you want to do well in school?
I was ashamed to do better than the other kids. I didn't want to be teased by them for showing off. I didn't understand, Miss Wilson. I wish she'd leave me alone. But she caught me a number of times holding back.
What are you trying to be? Saucy with me, Nakima?
No.
Don't you want to do well in school? Don't you want to get ahead? You could be a very good pupil if you wanted to be. Why don't you try?
I don't know.
What kind of an attitude is that? I noticed it in a lot of the pupils here. Now, where did you get this from? Well, tell me.
I couldn't explain to her. I didn't know how to tell her, but she must have found out from someone how a Hopi feels, because after a while, she stopped all that stuff about getting through first or getting the highest marks. Even when we played basketball, we didn't like to keep score. It was better just to play. Miss Wilson was a good teacher. I liked her after she stopped picking on me. She got me interested in history and geography and lent me books. I guess she was the first one I ever knew who thought and lived the American way, where you worry a lot about getting ahead of everybody else.
Here in the middle of the desert, no one gets ahead unless we all get ahead. The threat of death from thirst and starvation hangs over all of us. We live and die together.
The time came when I was to go through the Kachina initiation and learn the real nature of the Kachinas and gain the right to take part in the Kachina dances. It was in my eighth year. The sixth day of the bean dance was the day of the initiation. I was prepared by a friend of my father's, Talasemtewa, of the Greyhawk clan.
Nakima, down in Nakiva, you will be whipped by one of the Kachinas.
Yes, I know. Will it hurt, Talasemtewa?
They hit hard to purify you, my boy.
Do many of the boys who are whipped cry?
Some of them. But you will be brave, Nakima, won't you?
Yes, Talasemtewa.
It was a long ceremony down in the Kiva. Prayers, singing, sprinkling us boys and girls with water and tying feathers into our hair, sand painting, ritual, the Kachinas dancing, and finally...
What is that, Talasemtewa?
The time has come, Nakima. Oh.
The Kachinas, who were to flog us, came down into the Kiva, took their places around the sand mosaic on the floor, and one of the naked boys who was to be initiated was seized, placed on the mosaic with his hands held over his head, and... They weren't light with the whip. I wanted to scramble up out of the Kiva. I hoped something would happen and my turn would never come. And I hoped my turn would come soon and be over. Some of the children cried even before their turn. Some held out right through the punishment, the cleansing. I held out against the first three lashes, but the fourth blow... The pain was too great, and I gave way.
Did you have to hit him so hard?
But with that fourth blow, the ordeal was over. I was ashamed and relieved. And at the end of the ceremony, we were overjoyed to see the Kachinas whipping each other. On the ninth day of the bean dance, the last day, we saw the Kachina dancers without their masks. They were men whom we knew. There was my father and my uncles.
Nakima, you must tell no one what you have seen and heard during these ceremonies. Above all, you must not tell the children who the men are that wear the Kachina masks. In gratitude for saving us long ago and watching over us ever since, We impersonate the Kachinas. You will be able to take part in the dances now. You are growing up, Nakima.
We went through a very bad drought when I was 10, 11, and 12. Our three-year storage of beans and corn in the kiva almost gave out. I learned to wash myself with a mouthful of water to avoid wasting a drop. I learned how precious water is.
Nakima, we will have to take the burros and move on west to get water and bring it back.
How far will we have to go, Father?
I do not know. I do not think we will have to go as far as the Colorado. I hope the snake dance will bring rain.
It will.
Oh, yes, this time it will.
This time it must.
The ceremonies in themselves were never enough. They had to be made intense and alive before they could affect the rest of nature. Man can, my people believe, exercise some control over the orderly rhythm of the world with his actions, thoughts, emotions, and will. Man must, to avoid failure, see the world whole and understand the relationship of all that goes to make up the harmonious ebb and flow, the decay and creation.
Nakima, you are a man.
This year I went through my second initiation to become a member of the Horn Society.
Nakima, you take on the duties and rights of a man. You will avoid quarreling and fights over petty things. You will be a good Hopi. You will be peaceful.
At school, I have learned many things of the American way. All my teachers have told me I was a good student, and when I came under Mr. McRae in high school, he told me I should go on to university. He gave me extra work and instruction, and now he's gotten me this scholarship. But I still feel strange to the white man's ways. We have had many talks together after school, Mr. McRae and I.
You could become an interpreter, Nakima, explaining Hopi customs to the whites, especially officials, and explaining American customs to the Hopi.
Mr. McRae, there are some old Hopi men who say we will lose the Hopi way if we mix any more with the whites. We must keep to our own path.
Certainly the Hopi way deserves preserving, but you can go too far and become rigid and stand still.
But they say when you have been away to a white university, it is impossible to come back here because they turn you into a white in your thoughts and feelings.
You are threatened, Nakima, whether you stay here or go away. American ways are creeping into the pueblos. Why not face it with wisdom and a good heart? Be proud of your Hopi heritage, but don't be afraid to take from other worlds what might be useful in yours. Learn from the whites. At the same time, you can teach them something.
What?
Aliveness within and serenity without. No desire for wealth, power, and prestige gnawing at the heart.
Hunger sometimes.
Yes, you have your battle with nature. But among yourselves, you feel secure. People in the other world, though they're richer, much richer, and more powerful, I suppose, can never be sure what kind of treatment they're going to get from their fellows. And it isn't just one man against another, but also each man battling within himself over conflicting values. He wrestles with them for a while, and then divides his life into compartments. It's called adjustment. Life is lived then in fragments.
Instead of whole.
If you could teach them to see things whole, Nakima.
Like the creatures in the Hopi world.
Yes, but it's a son of a gun to get them to.
If I go, maybe I'll end up leading a fragmented life.
Maybe. You'll probably be less happy than some of your friends who stay on here in the pueblo.
Then why go? For some kind of success?
No, Nakima. I wouldn't want you to go to pursue success, nor stay to pursue happiness. I've been hoping you'd just want to go because you're alive, curious. Well, why don't you?
I still can't make up my mind. sitting out here on the roof all this time. The stars have moved. It's getting chilly. I'll probably not decide until the very last minute when Mr. McRae comes for his final answer in the morning. Then I'll have to say.
I can't tell you what decision Nakima will make. He was trained in two different ways of living, and his decision is a tough one. But I do want to say a few words about education. First, remember that we humans have elaborate and different ways of life because we learn them. Therefore, some form of education is obviously necessary. This includes the conscious effort to teach skills, the three R's, how to make things and the like. This part of our learning we carry on mostly in schools. But education means a lot more than this. It means learning how to think and what to think. Among the Hopi, much of this learning took place in ceremonies, where the lesson received dramatic force and emotional reinforcement. The Hopi child started learning his cultural attitudes long before the Kachina initiation, however. The relaxed manner of his weaning and toilet training and the easy attitude of his parents taught him an outlook on the world that was friendly and accepting. Early he was shown that he should subordinate his own interests to that of his village and never try to outshine his fellows or try to get ahead of them. He is given security in his social world and a traditional outlook. We see things differently. We tend to put far more responsibility on our children, to train them for independence. We want them to compete successfully and emphasize this with praise and with school grades and the like. One needn't judge the two methods. Each has its advantages and its difficulties. Certainly the Hopi view of life would not lead to the rapid conquest of the continent, but it is admirably suited for adjustment to their own rigorous environment, where, as Nakima's father said, they must live or die together. You can readily see that all cultures must provide an education for the young. For the young must not only get those skills that will enable them to lead useful lives, but must also learn the viewpoint of their culture so that they can fit into the society in which they will live.
Dr. Walter Goldschmidt of the Department of Anthropology and Sociology of the University of California, Los Angeles, has concluded Desert Soliloquy, a study in education, a program in the series Ways of Mankind, designed to show dramatically how human beings live together in different times and places. Ways of Mankind comes to you each week at this time through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.